The patients, almost 40% of the patients in the first month of my hospital got infected in the hospital, including the medical professionals, including the hospitalized patients, because initially they don't know this disease. They don't have any protection. So without the protection, so this problem will spread very quickly, or faster.
Okay, but do you advise, because we're going to probably run out, if it hits us, of N95s. Can you wear the N95 mask?
So N95 mask is very useful for the medical professional working in the ER, working in the ICU. So this is very useful. So
my question is, I noticed when you gave a podcast earlier, you were wearing the N95. Do you wear the same N95 mask the whole day? Or do you change it in between?
When you work in the ICU, when you come out from ICU because we have the different area. We have clean area, we have dirty area, we have buffer area. So if you come out from the dirty area, you should take off all the personal protection equipment, including the mask, because you cannot wear the mask to the clean area.
Okay, you are changing the mask from one patient room to the next patient room, or
No. I mean, when you stay in the ICU with the patient, which is called the dirty room, dirty area. So you can wear the mask from patient to patient. It's okay, but you should change the gloves. But you can keep the same mask, but you should change the gloves.
Okay, so you could continue wearing that mask for now. Which therapies would you suggest definitely therapies that you do not see any help with?
Okay, I mean, for the medication, I haven't found any medication effective for the COVID-19, including all the antiviral medications.
Have you monitor your patients 3 times a day, or do you give them a metered dose inhaler so you don't spread the virus around the room?
You want to use the
nebulized treatment. Do you use the nebulized albuterol and ipratropium, or do you give them an inhaler to pop in a couple of the patients that are stable enough?
Yes. So this is the nebulized patients, probably we are comparing the environment. We should be careful about that. So I mean, if you use the high flow nasal cannulation for the patients, should be careful about that, because we are generalized more droplet out.
So when a patient is deteriorating, I just want to make it clear, you avoid BiPAP and you avoid high flow and you just go straight to intubation?
No. Depends. So if your ICU environment is equipped with the negative pressure, it's okay. If it's without the negative pressure, so just be careful about that. Because now in my department, I'm responsible for 2 ICUs. One ICU equipped with the negative pressure. The other one only opened the window. Nothing. So I compare I compare the virus level in the environment. I found that in the ICU with only open the window. Sometimes I found the virus in the hair, virus in the equipment, but in the ICU with the negative pressure, it's totally clean. Even you use the BiPAP, or even you use the high flow nasal cannulation, it's okay.
Right. So just to be clear for the people, if you're in a negative pressure room, then using BiPAP and using vapors for high flow is acceptable. But
it's okay. Because
when you run out, I'm so sorry. Thank you so much. When you run out of negative pressure rooms in your experience, if you got really hit hard, what would you advise to act? So you would advise it not to use nebulizer treatment, not to use vapotherm, and then. Is there any specific, I imagine you probably ran out of negative pressure rooms at one point initially.
Yeah, because this room is not enough, of course. But I mean, should be careful about it. But we should wear the PPE when you enter the room. Either the room with the negative pressure or the room with only open the window. We keep the same level of the PPE.
So you use the same level of PPE, whether or not it's a negative pressure room or
right. But I still think the ICU with the negative pressure is relatively safe compared to the ICU without negative pressure.
I got you.
I mean, for the medical professionals, because but actually so far we have used the two ICU for almost more than 2 months. But so far, I haven't found any differences of the medical professional infection between the two ICUs.
I see. The one that has negative pressure and one that doesn't have negative pressure? Is that what you mean? There's no infection difference between those two ICUs or no?
But I do found the positive level of the virus in the hair, in the equipment, in the ICU is only open the window.
So you shouldn't have an open window. I missed that. You should have an open window.
No. I mean for that, yeah, of course, should open the window. But even open the window, I do find. I truly found that sometimes, not always, because we monitor the environment regularly. From the air, from the equipment, from the phone, to see any positive level virus, but not always. Sometimes we found the positive virus level in some area in this kind of.
So what does Dr. Cheng Xiong, did I pronounce it right, Cheong? What does Dr. Cheong personally do to mitigate his own risk to getting the infection from the patients? Explain to us what you do when you go to the ICU. I'm getting these questions.
There's no any difference for the infection. For the medical staff infection between two ICUs. Actually, so far we have only two nurses infected. So because we have a huge team, we have more than 200 medical professionals in my department, but only two, in the early stage. Now it's okay. But I haven't found any differences between the two ICUs for the race of the infected medical professionals.
We did hear reports from Italy and now from Seattle that the age might not actually be so accurate. Everybody has read your amazing report already in JAMA. We all know the numbers there. What's your anecdotal experience now, months into it? Is there really an age and comorbidity thing that you're seeing? What is that? experience.
So based on our observation, if relative to the patient with much more carbon, of course the patients are likely to become severe cases, are likely to die compared to other patients with relatively young without any comorbidities. Comorbidities also is the factor for the severe cases, for the poor outcome.
Okay, so you are seeing an age related. Do you feel like it's less risky if you're less than a certain age? Is that a true statement?
Yeah, I mean yes. If you are older, you are at the risk of the severe cases. You are at the risk of the poor outcome.
So you initially put them in the ICU if they have. When do you determine from going from the floor to the ICU? What does Dr. Zhiyong do?
Okay, yes, we have criteria. So of course, you have the ARDS, have the, you know, the PIF ratio less than 200, and the patient have the difficult breathing, the rate above. About 25 or above 30 per minute. If the patient is complicated with other organ dysfunction, if the patient is really relatively older, if the patient is the chest CT demonstrates the bilateral diffusion, the bilateral opacity. So this is all the difficult breathing. Severe ARDS is the indication to be admitted to ICU.
And I know you're an ICU doctor, but when do you tell the patient from home to come to the hospital? Is it when their fevers are very high, or they're coughing more, or they're just shortness of breath? When is your trigger to tell them to come to the hospital?
Also we have the criteria, hospital admission. So of course, if the patient's the saturation level less than 95% with the room area with the room air, if the patient also have the high fever, and without any improvement after initial treatment, so they will ask the patient to admit to the ICU or to hospital. Yeah.
And then you already described from hospital to ICU. Thank you. ARDS criteria would move them to the ICU.
The main criteria for the patient from floor to the ICU is the ARDS. If the ratio is less than 300, if the patient have difficult breathing or complicated with other organ injury, other organ failure, so this is the criteria for the patient to the ICU.
I know I only have another 5 minutes of your time, and I really appreciate it. Only another 4 minutes. Let me ask you a question. ARDS management, do you find any specific thing that's working better for you? Low tidal volume, APRV, what's your experience?
So, yeah, this is for the ventilation support. I have some key points. First of all, the lung protective strategy is very, very important. So try to don't damage your lung when you use the mechanical ventilation. I have the very strict protocols when we should switch from the non-invasive to invasive ventilation. Also be careful about the PEEP. So because this patient easily to develop pneumothorax. So usually we keep the PEEP below. So even you do the lung recruitment maneuver, keep the highest PEEP, the highest PEEP, less than 20. Otherwise, you will damage the lung. You will induce the pneumothorax for the lung.
Okay. So in other words, don't go to a PEEP higher than 20.
Yes. I mean for the long recruitment maneuver, so less than 20 for the PEEP, but for the regular set, less than 10.
Low in general. Keep the PEEP low. Keep it below.
Yeah. Try to keep the PEEP low. And also, if possible, monitor the transpulmonary pressure. If not, monitor the driver pressure. Driver pressure less than 15.
Okay, driving pressure less than 15. Okay, now I'm going to ask you some clinical pearls really fast. When do you give concurrent antibiotics? When do you pull the trigger to add antibiotics?
So if without any evidence of the bacterial infection, so we don't give the antibiotics.
And you don't typically do a bronchoscopy because it won't add, you just do a sputum culture, is that correct?
Yeah. We will do this, it's low sputum come out from the tracheal. This picture is relatively dry.
Hold on, I'm just muting other people that still haven't muted. I'm almost done. I'm at steroids. Do you think that steroids early on might help, or you feel like they're not helpful because maybe you started them too late? What's your feeling on that?
But this is a very complicated issue, very tricky issue. So I just analyzed the data from our patients. So the overall effect from the corticosteroids don't improve the mortality, but if we give some dose, definitely they will improve the symptoms. They will decrease the instance of the ARDS. They will improve the ARDS severity, but only for around 120 to 160 per day for 3-5 days. That's it. But don't give high dose. Don't give low dose. Low dose doesn't work. High dose worsen the patients.
I understand. So just to reiterate, if somebody goes into ARDS, you may consider 40 milligrams Q8 of Sayumedral. Is that a correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's 40 milligram Q every 80 hours, or 40 milligram every 80 hours, or 80 milligram every 12 hours.
80 milligrams every 12 hours. Okay.
Either 80 every kilo hour, or 40 every 8 hours. So it depends, but I mean, when to initiate the steroids. So if you find the patient the severe ARDS and the chest CT demonstrated very fast changes, very rapid changes. You know, for example, it's the only from the opacity from one area spread the all the lungs. So this is the indication to give the steroids, but just to control the progress of the infiltration of the lung.
Okay, so that would be in very severe ARDS. You would reserve the steroids only for the severe ARDS because it could worsen.
Yes, only for severe ARDS. Yes.
Okay. A few bullet point questions that I've pre-prepared. By the way, all of Miami is looking at you right now. Everybody's watching you, and we really appreciate your time. Remdesivir, do you have any anecdotal feeling that it's working for you? Remdesivir?
Okay, I don't know. I don't know that.
Maybe there's another name for remdesivir. If somebody knows that, they could text me. I know they're doing trials.
What kind of medication? What kind of medication?
Antiviral medicine from Gilead.
I know. So far, they have some at least two different antivirus medication are on the clinical trials in Wuhan, but based on the current information I heard, there's no enough evidence. But I don't know the exact result. Probably we should wait for the, you know, for more than 1 month. I don't know.
Okay. And do you use the HIV medicines like Kalitra, Lopinavir?
Oh, yes. This is actually, this is the, it will induce the organ.
Can you hear me? We might have to reconnect. This is the best part of the questions. Oh, there you are. Hello?
In fact, where is the real side effect? Where are you?
I really apologize for that. Just let's hopefully you'll come back on there. Can anybody hear besides me? This is the most important part.
I just hear your voice, nothing else.
Yeah, I think it's set up.
What do you suggest I do? Let's see. Getting some advice here. It's the Chinese end.
It's the Chinese end. It says his bandwidth is low.
Okay, we'll just wait for him to come back on.
Like 40 per minute.
Okay, I really apologize, Dr. Jiang, for
yes.
having a little trouble with your computer on your end, it looks like. So let me see if your computer picks up again. And your time here, I promise you, is going to save lives here. So if you're so kind, give us a little bit of your time. I'm just trying to... If you don't, maybe try reconnecting, Dr. Jiang, and then we can see you again. And at any point, if you need to get off, you just let us know. Okay?
Do we know whether he can see the texts?
Yeah, I'm going to send a chat. Oh, Dr. Jiang, he was there. I think he just clicked off as per my suggestion, and it'll probably go back on. If there's any dying question here.
Tocilizumab, can you ask him about, please, if you have the time?
Say again,
Tocilizumab.
Tocilizumab, yes, the anti-rheumatologic drug.
Anti-IL-6, there is one paper on that from China.
I'll see if he clicks back on.
Thank you.
I'm gonna try to email him to click back on. Sorry, this is the best part I was waiting for.
Yeah, the other option is to actually email him those questions and allow him the time to respond specifically to them.
I did. I already emailed him all those questions, but he said he'd prefer to speak to it on phone. So.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the computer, Dr. Jiang, your bandwidth is a little low on the computer, so everybody else mute, please. I'm going to send you the specific questions on a word. Maybe you have a resident who could answer it in case we have a problem with the communication. Can you hear me? I'll call you on. It says that the network bandwidth is low.
Okay, so yeah, but I can hear you clearly.
Okay, so I guess we'll ask that question again. Antiviral treatment, anything at all that seems to help your patients early on to progress to prevent progression. He's trying again. He's trying to log back in.
I don't know why all of a sudden it's not working his computer. You know, maybe Dr. Peng Ziyong, maybe, I don't know how well you could write the English. I know you're Chinese, so I don't know if you could write the English. Maybe you know what I'll do is maybe I'll just via email see if you could respond to those questions. I don't want to waste time. Because we're having a hard time hearing you. Maybe try one more time to reconnect. And then I'll just call you on my phone. Meanwhile, Claudio Tudor, what's the brand name of Remdesivir? Somebody could unmute and tell me.
It's an investigational drug by Gilead. It does not have a name.
There isn't one.
I'll call him and I'll send it to everybody. Okay.
Thank you very much. I'm going to send you a list of people from Jackson who'd like to hear all these answers.
Sure. I'll just call him on the cell phone now and ask him, okay?
Thank you
all.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ari.